raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves. All right, folks, we are back with another edition of Red and White Podcast. I'm your host, Evan, here on a remote location, and unfortunately, it is not sunny Orlando. It is rainy Albemarle, North Carolina. So if I sound a little bit different, that is why. Here with Will. Will, have you found $572 million to help Florida State leave the ACC?
No, I haven't, and I don't think they're ever leaving, and that's all I'll say about that. It's not because I've been drinking whiskey, so I'm sure I'm going to fire off at any minute about it. But
okay, well, here's one you can fire off about. Jakeen Harris entered the transfer portal, starting safety for North Carolina State, and ends up at UNC. How do you feel about that?
Well, for the audience, I'm currently holding up a box from Savage Wolves on which Jakeen Harris signed this box, and I believe this is what's called a collector's edition now, so I'm gonna hold on to this forever. How do I feel about it? It's pretty gross, but my theory is Jakeen probably wanted to stay relatively local, probably has a bunch of friends at NC State, and this was an opportunity to start, and he probably knew that being a second string safety at NC State would probably mean you're like an All-American at UNC. So, I mean, I applaud him for that. I'm sure if he had opportunities at like Duke, you know, he probably would have gone there maybe, but I don't know what, I didn't feel like digging in and looking back on his recruitment and seeing if UNC had ever been involved or if he had grown up a UNC fan or any of that stuff. But, culture wise, I'm sure it's going to be a shock for him. He looked incredibly uncomfortable in that photo with him and Mac Brown the other day. That's how I reacted at first. I just went, ugh. And then I just said, okay, like, whatever, man. Like, we play him one time. You know, I hope he has a terrible game against us. And other than that, I really don't care too much.
Do you think he got out of that game at the end of the year, was like, yeah, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. They just got their ass torched. I want to be back there. I want to go to KC again.
I'm sure, I think he's recovering from like a pec surgery or pec injury. And so yeah. I don't even know what he was thinking. Yeah, it's kind of weird, right? Like, I mean, again, it's just culture-wise, very opposite. Now, I would say, if I was a UNC coach, I'd be looking at the team that just kicked my ass and said, well, gosh, it would be nice if we had more players like them here. So it makes sense from their standpoint to go say, hey, we want to get more of you here and you're in the portal. I don't know, man. It's just so weird. It's just really hard to think of. It's not abnormal, I guess, to see someone flip in high school, right, between the schools. I feel like this has to be the first inner UNC NC State transfer that I can remember in like 20 years of giving a crap about this.
Right? It's got to be. I don't remember any.
Right? I'm trying to think, right? Because like transfers weren't really going on that much back in our day of being there at the school. And so, yeah, I feel like this is the first. It's the first salvo and maybe a mini, you know. Maybe it's always going to be one-sided because, I mean, honestly, like, aside from maybe a wide receiver or a quarterback, you'd never really want a UNC player. So
it's weird.
Yeah, I mean,
only thing I can think of is it's weird. Like, I get it. We're taking guys from Duke and Wake, you know. So I get that part of it. It feels different being State Carolina, be like a kid going from Michigan to Ohio State, you know, or any other like primary rival. You know, it would just feel strange. But I get it if it's like his only opportunity, right? If that was their promising starting time and he wants to stay in the area, all that.
I don't agree with like people that are like, oh, it's UNC trying to like make some kind of PR move or like stick it to Dave. Cause it's like, okay, well, you took a backup safety. And like that, I guess that's what people maybe don't realize. Like he was starting at the beginning of the season, got injured, and I think the staff was basically saying, you're gonna be a backup going forward, or you're gonna have to compete. I don't know how they phrased it. And so I don't think it's a massive loss. It's a depth loss, obviously. But you know, like there's been other interconference transfers like this. Like I think there was like a guy from Miami that went to FSU that was like a big, he was part of the Tez Walker play me, ignore my waiver type thing. So like you're gonna see more of this. And it definitely will make sense later, I guess, going on, right? Like especially when you have guys that if you're recruiting back and forth and they go to UNC or they go to state and the other was the second in the recruitment, like it will make sense down the road. It just feels so weird. And I think people probably expected that Jakeem would have more options. So you know, who knows? I doubt NIL was really a factor here. Like that doesn't really make sense to me. So I don't know. Like we'll see. I hope he has a good time. You know, like UNC had Cameron Kelly go and like one other guy, I can't remember, Storm Duck, I think it was, went to to Louisville and they had good years and had a good time and went to a championship game. So I hope that doesn't happen. But you know, who knows? You know, someone was like, oh, I saw this on IPS and it made me chuckle. Someone was like, oh, it would be great if he can give us like a tell all, you know, years from now and describe how bad the culture is and all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, I guess, but like, we don't need that. So I don't know. I think he just wanted playing time. I get a feeling he just didn't want to go far from Raleigh. And so Chapel Hill was the next closest stop and no one wants to go to ECU and no one wants to go to Wake. So like, I really don't fault him, but it's just so gross. Just seeing him in that blue shirt with Mac Brown, I was just like, oh God, I just want to barf. It's just so, so freaking weird. For those of you that don't know, I poured this really big Manhattan to celebrate playing Kansas State. This was my nod of the cap to Kansas State. And Evan was like, join, get on here. You're ready to go. And I hopped in and then I waited, what, like 30, 40 minutes? Something so I've been like sipping on a double Manhattan. So I hope you guys are ready. Oh, Evan's come on to the video. Brother. Is that malt spice? What is that?
With salted caramel bourbon.
Oh, man. Yeah, that looks intense.
Whiskey, I don't know what the fuck you guys call them. It's
whiskey,
delicious.
Bourbons. It's brown. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
It's all the same to me.
It's brown and you can't frown. That's what they say. So anyway, so hopefully I'm not ranting too much right now or just running on. But man, Jakeem Harris, you had to hit me right from the get-go with that.
I mean, it just doesn't happen often. It doesn't happen often. And I wonder what the dynamic is with, like, in the state locker room, if they're like, all right, good luck over there. Or they're just like, you know, don't let the door hit you on the way out. Or if there's laughter. I don't know. Like, I just wonder what I bet you it's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they are probably like, good luck, man. And you'll start and we'll see you at the end of the year. Right? Like, I assume that's how I'd be. I would be very confused. I would just be like, you really want to go there? I don't know, man. I just feel like that would be like really odd experience. And I feel like the second he gets there and sees how it operates, I feel like he would just be like, okay. Like, what do you do? Do you, like, tell all the guys that are, like, soft as Charmin, like, this is how you're supposed to be tough? Like, or do you go, oh, shit. I wasn't good enough to be at the other stop. I don't know. Very weird.
It's so weird. It's a very weird one. I mean, I don't care. Like, whatever. I mean, he didn't play all year. The funny part of me is, like, the Twitter reactions. And it's like, there's some super Homer State fans. Oh, bro, loved you. Good luck, whatever. And then there's some like the Carolina fans that are trying to sell themselves on it. Like, man, I love watching you play. I was like, he played like a quarter this year, right? You know, he didn't play a whole lot. And
he had some plays. Like, I mean, his biggest plays were last year, obviously, because he was injured like within a snap of this year. But, you know, he had some picks. He had some, someone pointed out, it reminded me, he had a great play. I think it was a pick six against Pitt in 2020 that was called back from a very questionable hit, if I recall. So like he makes the play on the ball. Like he's honestly, he's the best safety they probably had in years. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of like, that's the thing is like people want to play. So I'm not going to fault a guy for when to go get snaps. And if he didn't have as many options as he was expecting and this became available, like I'm not going to fault him for taking it. Like in the end, it's just a business decision. And you know what? Like if you are lucky enough to make it to the pros, you're probably going to have to wear different jerseys multiple times in your career. And you may hate a team one day and you have to be on the team the next. So, you know, I'm sure he'll dump it and move on from it. It was just so weird when he put the tweet out and he had that stupid, like, rude boys hashtag. And you're like, come on, man. Like, that's, I didn't even realize that was still a thing. And then it was just like, don't you just want, like, it would kill me on the inside if I was him. Just be like, oh, do I really have to do this, guys? Is part of my signing here and getting the starting job that I have to do your stupid media campaign? Like, ugh. I just hope, like, he, when he's playing us, he just accidentally trips and lets us hit a huge play and just, like, looks back at the turf and is like, wow, my God, Turf Monster must have got me. It's just, like, a long time.
Job.
That's why I'm not going to bash him, because I know in his heart, you know, his calf, he's going to get, like, a cramp at the wrong time. He's going to help us out. I know it'll happen. Or he'll completely bone us and pick sixes the other way. He won't do that because Grayson McCall would never throw a pick six. So
that's right.
Yeah, I've moved on emotionally from this news.
Yeah. All right. Weird one. Tony Gibson signed 3-year extension. How do you feel about that?
Finger guns. Great. Head coach in waiting, as far as I'm concerned.
I think everybody believes that too.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't not give him a raise. I think, I mean, I'm of the theory that if I'm a defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator at the P5 level and I'm doing well, I'm just going to stick where I am. If you have a bad year the next year, it like doesn't kill your stock. It makes sense for him to stick around. And there's still a lot of talent on the defense. So probably from his perspective, there's not very much risk through your contract. And again, like it just wouldn't surprise me if after they raised a bunch of money this year that him and Dave talked and Dave probably wants to stay around for a little bit and see where this goes. And then it just seems like he's like the no brainer. He'll get like the first crack at the job and he'd have to really bone the interview to like not be the head coach at NC State. And I'm totally fine with it because he's been incredibly successful here. It's funny because like when he came in, I think we were all like, all right, let's see how this goes. Because he came in, Dave Huxtable was still the defensive coordinator. Then Tony takes over and you're like, well, he had some good secondaries at West Virginia. But then it was also the Big 12 and it was that era of the Big 12 and they were getting like absolutely just smoked every weekend. It didn't matter what team it was. And like, holy crap, what a difference it makes to have some talent, I guess. Because I don't feel like anything probably changed for Tony Gibson from when he got here before to after. But my God, he's like got a great system. It works here. It seems like they're like easy to reload. And so do whatever you can to maintain him. I don't know. Like, didn't he like teach Kansas State to how to 3-3-5?
Yes. So I was going to get into that. Somebody asked, hey, I just learned Kansas State learned a 3-3-5. Turns out Kansas State coaches came to North Carolina this summer so that we could teach them the 3-3-5, which is a ironic twist of fate there.
Do you think they called it like teach me how to Gibby or teach me how to Tony?
Oh, God. Terrible. Terrible.
Look, I'm 75% of the way through this drink, Evan. The ice cube is gone and it's hitting hard. And I'm debating whether I should text my wife, hey, can you bring up the Manhattan ingredients?
Heck yeah, you should. Live on the pod, mix and match. Yeah,
I do it. We got one more big vacation. Ice cube.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might do it for the fans. It's happening. Oh, man.
How was your Christmas, by the way? Holiday?
Well, we got COVID, so that wasn't great. So the plan was we were going to go down to Winston to visit family on the 22nd. And so everything was moving along to schedule. And then my wife had a really terrible headache starting Sunday night last week. And then I was talking to a coworker Monday morning and he was like, I got COVID. And I was like, oh, well, what are your symptoms? And he goes, I have this terrible headache. So then we tested and my wife's test went COVID positive immediately. And so then we were like, cool, we're going to have to cancel all these schedules or these plans. But it actually turned out great because aside from her being sick for like 2 days, I got to spend a lot of time and we were doing kind of like presents throughout the week kind of thing. So it was good. After that, all kind of settled down and I realized my wife wasn't going to die from COVID. So I can't complain. I think. Now I'm thinking back on it. Maybe I should complain. No. It was good. It was good. My Christmas lights, I went a little crazy this year. So before we had like a row home and we would only have to decorate like an 8x12 plot to make everything light up. So now we have this huge expanse of yard here in the mighty Richmond Metro. And I went crazy with the lights and there must be a bad connection somewhere because they keep shorting out when it rains.
It's like Christmas Vacation.
It is. Oh, my, that's what I was going to tell you. I was going to save it for the pod. I had never seen Christmas Vacation until this year.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Between that and now I'm going to really like upset you. I think we talked about this before. I still haven't seen more than 5 minutes of Caddyshack.
Oh my God.
I've been saving that one because I was like, you know, I was thinking it was going to snow and be like a terrible winter and then I was going to pop that on. But then we were sitting there and I was like, you know, I don't think I've ever seen this Christmas Vacation movie. I just know that there's a famous Shitter's Full scene and watched it. And I was like, man, this is like, fuck it. This might be the best Chevy Chase I've ever seen. I don't know how I'd seen every other Chevy Chase movie, but this one. So yeah, so that was awesome.
I would love to see it for the first time now and just experience it now and see what it's like. It's amazing.
Honestly, like the only part that's like kind of awkward is like when he's hitting on the mall lingerie sales lady, right? Yeah. And then you're like, well, this is probably like not going to fly today. But the rest of it's actually pretty funny. And, you know, you got Julia Louis-Dreyfus in it out of nowhere, right? And
where are you going to put that thing?
Yeah.
Hand over and I'll show you.
When that happened, Wahida like turned to me and she was like, that is so inappropriate. And I was like, but it is incredibly funny and I cannot forget it. And I just love like the funniest thing too is like my buddy works for Adidas Golf. And so he gave us all this stuff from all the sales, you know, all the extra jackets and shirts and everything from last season. And, so my wife and I have been going out on the town and we've been going out in like our matching Adidas golf jackets. And every time I think about it, I go out, I'm like, oh my God, we're like Troy and whatever her name is from Christmas Vacation, like matching running outfits. And it just makes me chuckle. I cannot believe how good that movie is. I chuckled so much and really resonated with me. So that was probably the best gift. Actually, I had some other gifts. My wife got me like a golf mat because I was ruining all the carpets. That was the most thoughtful one for sure. What about yours? I've been talking about mine. How's yours been?
Oh, pretty uneventful. our house is now all about the children. So as long as they're having a good time, my wife and I say we don't exchange gifts. We each get us end up getting each other something. So there's something, just one of those deals. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, my wife surprised me. She did like a, she was like, I'm going to do an advent calendar-esque thing, but I'm going to give you a gift every day. And I was like, well, this is going to be crazy because I only got you three things. And so then I had to like go in like emergency shop 2 days ago to like up, you know, because as it, I kept going, I was like, oh my God, all these gifts are so fucking good. I mean, the jewelry's not going to be good enough. I got to go get this and get that. So that's a lesson for all you people that are thinking about getting married. You better either get the right wife that is like, I'm cool with limited gifts, or you're going to have a nightmare for the rest of your life. So
yeah, we established that from the get go, you know, anniversaries, all that stuff. It's just like, let's do things together and not put it towards gifts. And typically that's what we do. There's always something small, just if it's, you're thinking about it or, you know, whatever, but it's not like it's a forced gift of any kind.
Yeah. But my thing's always like, as long as it's somewhat thoughtful, I could care less. It could be a piece of paper as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I get my my wife stuff all year long, so I don't need to, you know, doesn't have to have a special holiday. So she knows that. So.
Yeah. I mean, I was really disappointed that my wife didn't get me those Mizuno Masters irons that someone put up in the chat. Oh my God. I was like, I wish I was good enough at golf to justify that.
They are so sharp. Yeah.
Oh, they look so good.
Yeah. You can only get them in Japan. One of my buddies looks and he still might get them because he gets a lot of golf clubs, but
I would just get, I mean, they are so pretty looking. I would just be like, just get them and put them on the wall. Like, don't even, like, I guess just if someone can just sell me whatever shade of green that is, I'll just go paint some real crappy ones and hang them up and be like, oh yeah, these are Mizuno Masters.
Just oil can dip them so they look.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. Are we supposed to talk about football?
No, I don't know. This is a classic off-season pod. Honestly, I'm thinking about all the people in the pod chat who are driving to Orlando and are stuck in traffic right now. And I kind of wish they could be listening live while they were driving, because I think they would have give them something to talk about.
I was gonna message them in the chat and be like, well, don't worry, if you can wait 4 to 8 hours, I'm sure Evan will post something.
Oh, I'll get this up quick. They won't, I get most of them won't be in Orlando yet. I'll put it up for them.
It won't have any audio, music, or cover 3 or anything.
It might not. I did find out that it's not me that is messing this up. It's the provider we use is having an issue with one of the features. So they did clear that up. And I was like, well, thanks.
It's not you, it's me. That's so nice of them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's exactly what they said. We got a bunch of questions about this Pop-Tart Bowl game. If you haven't heard or you haven't seen the Twitter feed, go check my Twitter feed, because I've been on a bunch of Kansas State podcasts, Cocaine Willie Boys, or Cocaine Willie, the Bosco Boys. Another one that I forgot the name of. I did a 15-minute deal for them.
Wow. Inspiring ad read. Wow, well,
they
just
emailed me and said, hey, send me 15 minutes about NC State. And I was like, okay. And so I did. And
the worst. And it's all the ones of us just making audiovisual references.
Right. They hadn't told me if it was good or not, so I assume it is. But anyway, check Twitter feed. I've been retweeting all those if you want to hear them. I really like the Cocaine Willie guys. They know their stuff. They're chill. I told Henderson the other day that I listened to the IPS pod with the Kansas State guy, and he was so dry. It was painful.
He was like a news guy or something, right? He has to be like a newspaper guy. Was exactly what you'd expect for that. Yeah, the Cocaine Willie guys were great. I haven't listened to you on them on their pod.
Yeah.
But I was listening to your – oh, my God, I can't believe – this is how, like, I this vacation of mine has been wonderful. I spent like 2 hours organizing screws, and I was listening to the podcast while literally just moving screws from one container to the other and been like, oh yeah, this is going to solve my workshop. And you guys were wonderful. So compared to screws, you're freaking awesome. It was great. I appreciate that. As it was going on, I was like, God, I wish I didn't miss this podcast. I really wish I'd just been like, hey, you know, honey, I know you have COVID and you're having a terrible time, but I really need to go upstairs and talk with people about Kansas State.
I didn't realize the Kansas State deal. I didn't realize how bad they were. Right. And somebody put in the pod chat that SI called them the worst program in history or something like that. Like, they were epically bad. And then Bill Snyder did what he did, and he had 6 out of 7 years with 11 wins. And looking at those schedules, they might have padded it with some cupcakes, but regardless, 11 wins, 6 out of 7 years is phenomenal. And then obviously he stepped away and they stunk, and then he came back and had success again. I was like, that program has been on a roller coaster. But to me, it always, looking at it, it's analogous of what state fans think that NC State should be, right? I feel like we've historically been mediocre, not as bad as they were, right? Average, but everything is there to have those 11 win seasons, but we just, for whatever reason, keep stumbling or getting in our own way or whatever it is. But I think there's a lot of parallels to the two programs. And that's what I took away from all that. It's like, they've had more top end success. I get it. But I think the programs are in a very similar trajectory. And I think everything is, they've done a little bit more than what we have. But I think that's kind of why state fans have so much angst. Cause you feel like, hey, we could do this. There's no reason we can't win 11 games or whatever it may be. But there's a lot of parallels to the programs.
Yeah. I don't know if we've ever been in like the pure doldrums that they were in.
Right.
Maybe our basketball program was.
Yeah. Okay.
So I just was scrolling through their Wikipedia. You know, things are bad when you don't have like the table of all of the win loss records, but instead you have it broken up into eras. And then there's a great stat at the end of one of them that says, by then, Kansas State had become the first program in Division I-A FBS to lose 500 games and had the worst overall record in the nation. In 93 years of play, they had gone 299, 509, and 41 for a 370 average. Tough times for those Wildcats. Wasn't the highlight for them that they like randomly showed up in the movie Speed? But I feel like that was an Arizona team instead. Hold on, I'm going to do some quick research. Speed, Sandra Bullock shirt. This is probably going to end terribly for me. But wasn't she like the Wildcat or something like that? Bobcat, Wildcat. Hold on. I'm going to answer this live the way you guys love to hear it. Type, type, type. If you're stuck in traffic right now, I'm doing this for you. Oh, no. Arizona Wildcats. God. So close, guys. Gosh, yeah. It's funny because it all depends on like your era that you've experienced Kansas State. I feel like I was here for the Bill Snyder times. So I've always just been like, wow, Kansas State is like pretty freaking good, but they're in the Big 12. I almost think that if the ACC was expanding, I'd be like, hey, Kansas State, why don't you come here? You're more like us anyways. I don't know. I got that vibe from them when you guys were talking. Like, I don't think they want to be part of the Big 12, do you? I think they want to be over here in a power conference.
I don't know. I didn't get that.
Oh, I felt
I'd rather be in the Big 12 right now.
Well, why? Hold on. Damn it, I knew FSU was going to get me riled up. they get less money than us, Evan.
I get the money part. Again, you and I talked about the money. I don't care about the money. It doesn't go to my pocket.
Well, but that's the thing is, the money equals respect.
Yeah.
Wins, right? I mean, the money is literally everyone saying your crap is not as good as the other crap. So the money is important. Now, what you do with the money past a certain point is meaningless to me.
Right.
But the money at least indicates a scale of appreciation.
Better conference.
They're a really good football program that's in top, like a basketball conference. And
Well, it's a better basketball conference too, which is the ironic part about all of this.
I know.
Better football and a better basketball conference.
That's what I was going to tell you, is we need to look into this. What's the payouts for NCAA tournament appearances? Because I feel like that is their strategy currently, is we won't beat you on football dollars, but we'll get NCAA tournament appearance money. Like,
yeah, I don't know. It's a good question.
I think it's several million. It's like a share of something, but
yeah, I'm sure it all gets pulled for all the teams that make the tournament and then cut up across the conference.
Yeah.
To some degree. Sort of like, I'm sure it's similar to how ACC was doing football for a long time.
I guess what I'm saying is they seem like they're kind of like salt of the earth type football. Them and Oklahoma State, really. And like, they always stood out to me as teams that seemed like they just were hard, tough, and together compared to everyone else. And seemed to have a different kind of style. They were always kind of unique. And, you know, it's really interesting. Like, this is like going to be a real fun experiment, right? Like, of this is the first time we play them. Somehow we're not favored, despite them having, like, more opt-outs from starters. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, so somebody asked that. Why does the Vegas like them so much? I was talking about. You also asked about defensive metrics and whatever. They're very comparable across the board in terms of total metrics, but it's impossible to quantify that with the portal. They have lost so much more production in the portal than we have. And especially on the defensive side of the ball, I don't know how Vegas comes up with these numbers or why they are a 2.5, 3-point favorite, kind of depending on where you look. It's weird to me. Like, I don't get it. It should be a pick 'em, if anything.
But were we dogs in all of the Brennan Armstrong games?
Yeah.
When he came back, I mean. So, weren't we dogs against UNC, Virginia Tech, Wake? No, maybe we had... Maybe Wake's not the one we were a dog in. But I guess, like, this has been a year where State, from the betting perspective, has been absolute dog turd, right? We were, what, 6.5 over and under to start the season. And then I feel like outside of UConn and VMI, I feel like we were never favored. I could be wrong.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm such a bad historian that I don't even remember the lines from this year. So,
hey, vamp for a second. My mom's calling. I just want to make sure this isn't an emergency.
Yeah, you're good. The other couple other questions. Hey. Is it true the winner gets to take out a bite out of a Pop-Tart mascot? Yes. Apparently they have a Pop-Tart mascot, but they also have a Pop-Tart edible mascot. I don't know what that's going to be about. And then Dave Doran did say if they win, he's going to chase his bourbon with a Pop-Tart, which I thought was hilarious. So the other question we had was, what kind of bourbon will Doran chase his Pop-Tart with? I think he's going to chase his bourbon with a Pop-Tart. So, yeah, I'm waiting for Will to respond. He's on the phone, so this is what we do. The other thing I thought was cool is the Pop-Tarts trophy actually has two Pop-Tarts in it. I don't know if they're edible. I don't think the trophy is a toaster, but that would be fantastic if it was. So, can you use crushed Pop-Tarts as a barbecue? Man, y'all are all up in your feelings about some Pop-Tarts for this bowl game. Can you use crushed Pop-Tarts as a barbecue rub? I think it would burn too easily. I'm trying to think if you were, which one would you use? Brown sugar, maybe? Brown sugar cinnamon? Oh, I don't know about cinnamon. Brown sugar? I don't know. That's a weird question. That's weird to think about. I'm watching Will on the phone, and it's pretty funny. Yeah, but I don't know. Crushed.
Sorry, I'm back.
I'm good.
Yeah. I was like, Mom, what do you want for Christmas? And she was like, a gift card. And I was like, well, why do you want a gift card? And she was like, I want to buy a grill, which started that thing where I think I posted in the chat. Yeah. Right. And I was like, well, what's the best grill to get folks that are a little bit on the older side? And then, when we got sick here, I completely forgot to get her the gift card. And so she called me and she's like, look, I'm not upset. I'm just trying to understand. Did you send us a gift card or not, because because we're seeing that all these like scams are going on with gift cards. I said, oh my gosh. I said, no, I haven't bought you anything. Cause I said, I have literally on our to-do list, research grills for you. And I've been researching these stupid grills, and I was waiting until figure out which one I wanted to recommend to you. And then I would get you a gift card to go get that grill. And then I was like, look, I'm on a podcast. It's really important for me to go back to my people.
Well, the current question I was answering is, can you use crushed barb tarts as a barbecue rub?
Of course you can.
But what flavor would you use? That's what I was kind of running on about.
Easy, brown cinnamon, the cinnamon sugar one.
Well, the brown sugar, obviously, but the cinnamon part of it would be a little weird.
No, that would be fine, especially if you're like smoking anything, because that's probably going to like knock that flavor down anyways. Okay, if I was making a sauce, I would definitely use one of the berry flavored ones for sure, because you can get the sweetness from that. Oh man, if you're doing like a mole type thing, you could use one of the like chocolate flavored Pop Tarts, and you just have to work in some spice, some peppers into that. Oof, I'm gonna need to pull up the Pop Tart catalog and really give this a thought. Now we're making a brisket for New Year's Eve, and so now I'm gonna have to go look at Pop Tart rubs for brisket. Let's see here. You know, I had these ribs once that had like a blueberry sauce. Don't they have like a blueberry Pop Tart? They've got to have something Pop Tart flavors. Hold on. Maybe this was the secret all along. Oh my god. There's no, you're good. I hear you. You haven't frozen. I hear your mic moving around. And this is going to be the best part of the pod. Everyone's going to be like, I love that part when Evan was moving his mic around the whole time thinking he froze. Nope. I'll click on the chat button here. And I will say, we have not froze. let's see. Well, we'll find out in a few minutes if we froze or not. Oh, and Evan has left the podcast. That's never a good sign, but it's still recording. So, do you guys want to hear me talk about Pop-Tarts while Evan loads back in?
I hope that's saved.
We could hear you the whole time, and it's been recording on my side. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So I could hear you when you said, oh my God, I froze, or whatever. Okay, good. Okay,
good. Yeah, I am on some dial-up here in the rural North Carolina. So
look, the most important part is at what point of my Pop-Tart sauce/brisket rub did you roll out?
I heard sauce, and I thought you were about to say fruity flavor, which I would agree with.
Yeah, definitely use your fruity flavors to make like a barbecue sauce. That should be easy peasy. At least get that extract from it. I mean, if I was you, I would obviously like cut the Pop-Tart in half perfectly. I'd probably use a mandolin if I'm really doing it right. I'm going to get thin shavings of it so I can get the crust separated from the filling. I'm going to use that crust in a pie is probably what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to take that filling and I'm going to reduce it down into to a sauce for sure. Do you want to call in the KSU chef guy? Because I'm sure he would agree with me here.
We should have asked him this question. Maybe I'll tag him on Twitter and ask him. Yeah.
I feel like my wife is going to be so mad when I come home tomorrow with 15 things of Pop-Tarts. But I'm only doing it if we win.
When's the last time you had a Pop-Tart?
Like 3 months ago. We like really? Occasionally will have like that, what is it called? Like nostalgia buys. So like it happened to me not yesterday, but 2 or 3 days ago at the grocery store. And I bought like Lucky Charm Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Cracklin' Oat Bran, which is like, I don't know why, but my stepdad used to always eat it and I love it. And I was just going through the cereal aisle and I was just like, what am I doing? And I just kept grabbing box after box and putting it in. So instead of buying Pop-Tarts, I was buying cereal. So it's too bad we're not in like a Kellogg's bowl this year.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah, the other question I answered, what kind of bourbon will Dave Doran chase with his Pop-Tart? He actually said, and I said this earlier, he actually said he was going to chase his bourbon with a Pop-Tart. So it was kind of the opposite of that.
Yeah, I think Someone took a photo when he was doing the bowl prep, when he talked about, can I chase the Pop-Tart, right? And in the background, there clearly was a bottle of bourbon. And I did not sleuth it enough to figure out what it was. But I don't know. If I'm a coach, I probably have access to some pretty good bourbon.
Here's a real question for you. If we come out looking dead, like we have the last few bowl games, what will the reaction be?
Peyton Wilson was the heart of this team, and we're doomed.
I think you're exactly right, actually. I think that's probably a great answer.
Right? Like, that seems like the no-brainer. Obviously, it's going to be, this is the impact of not having Anthony Smith.
Dave, speaking of Dave, so here's the Pop-Tart Bowl. Just put out a interview. Like, this just came across the pod chat while we were recording, and I'm going to read it. It's a Q&A with Dave Dorn. What do you think of the trophy, Dave Dorn? Beautiful, man. Look forward to seeing that thing at the end of the game. It's really nice. I'm still wondering where the shot of bourbon on that thing goes, though. And then it's 9 in the morning, so Dave Dorn, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
So oh, my God.
Dave, another extension. He is feeling himself right now, boys, and I am here for it.
Who would have thought this some NIL money getting in the coffers would make Dave Dorn a fun guy again?
This is the Dave that you and I have been talking about we need to see. This is what the Dave that we need to see on the recruiting trail, all those other things, right, what we talked about.
Well, I'd say it's this, right? The real Dave, like what we've always said, right, is the real Dave Dorn behind scenes is not the ones that you get at press conferences usually. The real Dave Dorn is the one that rightfully calls all the UNC people a bunch of bitches or whatever he said. Now I can't remember how he phrased it, but – oh, no, pieces of shit. That's what he called them. Because we're, I'm sorry, Mom, but you already called in the middle of this podcast and ruined it. So, like, that's the real Dave. He's much more like us than he is, I feel like he's so mad in press conferences most of the time because I feel like he wants to cut loose and just doesn't think he can. But, yeah, this is like the Dave you expect, and like he seems loose. He's an all-time winning coach at NC State. He probably feels like he's playing on borrowed money at this time. Things are a lot easier because he finally, it seems, was able to upgrade his roster in the transfer portal the way he is intending to, and probably feels like maybe he just didn't realize that his job was to literally just go on after a game and say, can you guys please donate money? And people would start doing it at like an insane rate. And it made his life a lot easier. And so like you could see him being tense all season as the season wasn't really going as expected. See it turn into the kind of season that he wanted. And then end on the upside of all of a sudden having a bunch of money and also getting to enjoy watching Florida State get absolutely boned. I'm sure as an NC State coach, that's like icing on the cake for a good year. So
I wonder how the coaches feel about that.
Well, they probably are upset because it means less money to the conference technically, right? Which probably goes to their bonuses or to their pool, right? That they could go hire people with and things like that. So I'm sure they were disappointed. We didn't play them, so it seems like probably one of those years where I'm sure he would say, like, yeah, they got boned. Like, that's bullshit. I still think it's BS. The semifinal games are usually blowouts anyway, so why does it matter if you put in FSU and they get blown out? I bet there's going to be two blowouts this year. So why make the decision you made? I don't know. You think if Boo Corrigan like really had it in him, he'd be like, well, you know, when we were voting on it, it was 7-6 or 8-5 or whatever the number was. And, you know, I was voting this other way. Like, I mean, I can't believe he didn't come out and be like in the middle of that and be like, well, you know, I really wanted the ACC team to be in and I voted for them. And eventually I was overruled or something like that. Probably would have saved some face for the ACC, but it doesn't matter now because we're like haymakering each other from the conference headquarters and from Tallahassee. So we'll see what what's left here in the next 2 years.
Big night for the ACC in the bowl games.
Is it?
Yeah, Virginia Tech played today. I don't know if they won. They were winning. I really like their Virginia Tech quarterback. I think he's going to be good. Drones. Carolina's about to kick off right now in the Mayo Bowl against West Virginia. Louisville plays later tonight. And am I forgetting one?
I think didn't Georgia Tech play earlier in?
Yeah, they beat UCF.
Yeah. Which is great.
Down 17 something, nothing or something like that. Came back in 130-17.
Yeah, not only to lose on Grayson McCall, but also to lose to Georgia Tech. Tough times for the Big 12.
Ooh, burn. And the interesting about the Mayo Bowl is that they are allowing them to have headsets in their helmets.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, it's probably because North Carolina doesn't have enough people to play.
So it's the only thing to make it fair. The game this morning, I think it was a game this morning where the headsets weren't working. So they couldn't have any, none of the headsets were working. So it was all old school communication. Which is fascinating. But Peyton Wilson decided to sit out. How are your feelings on that one?
I can't believe it was even under consideration. He's done more than enough for this team. And I hope not only was I glad he didn't do this, I hope he doesn't play in the Senior Bowl. I hope he just goes and runs at the Combine. And that's it. I want him to go have a pro career. I think he was snake bit multiple times, right? And then everything finally came together and you see exactly who he is. And some NFL team's going to get lucky. And I'm sure he's actually going to be healthy for 3 or 4 years. And he's going to have a nice little career and we'll see what happens. But I'm totally fine with him not playing. Like, I can't believe.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't get it. Yeah, I haven't heard anybody say otherwise, but I mean, I completely get it. 100%.
I've seen some posters that are like being like, he's a quitter. And I'm just like, are you serious? Like, that's the guy you want to label as a quitter for looking
that's your
out
sign
one
to get off the
himself?
Message boards. People aren't labeling Peyton Wilson as a quitter. It means
I hit a lot of blocks. Yeah. It's actually an incredible litmus test, right? Like, if you post it and just say, if Peyton Wilson doesn't play in a bowl game, is he a quitter? And then you'll get the 10 people that you never want to hear anything from. It's great. You just block, block, block. You move on.
Yeah. I think that was all the questions. We had some specific ones. We've kind of talked about them. How are you feeling about this bowl game?
Well, when I was walking the dog earlier, I was like, we're going to win 42-17.
Jesus.
Okay. And that was before I started drinking.
Let me ask you a question around Peyton Wilson, because somebody had a specific question. What do you do about the linebacker rotation for the bowl game? Are they going to sort? It feel like they're going to insert Caden Fordham and slide Scott out. How do you replace Peyton Wilson?
Well, yeah, I guess it's, do we do the Clemson thing and do we put Sean Brown down there, or does Sean Brown play in some certain packages?
I would expect that's probably what happens.
Well, I feel like what they did right in the Clemson game was when he came out, they put Sean Brown down because they expected it to be more passing situations. And so what I would expect, like, if I was Tony Gibson going into this game, I would say, I'm going to sit back for a quarter and see if Avery Johnson can actually play a full game. Because, like, it seems like all Avery Johnson has done for KSU has been playing in basically mop-up duty, right?
Yeah.
And so if I'm doing that, it's then do I want to just play the run and see if he can beat me with his arm for a quarter or not? I would just sit back and see if he can be with. I feel like KSU, I don't know, man. They got an offensive line coach calling the game for them as the OC. So yeah. I feel like that would mean run heavy, which means play run heavy. But then if I'm a coach and have any sort of brain power, I'd be like, well, they think I'm going to run the ball a lot. So maybe I'll throw to start the game.
Galaxy brain.
I know, right?
You know,
I'd see what happens for the first drive, and then I would either play Sean Brown or I'd bring in Fordham. Like, wasn't Fordham basically the Wilson sub?
Yeah, essentially.
He came off at times, right?
Yeah. Other than being a white linebacker, they have a very similar build.
Oh my God.
And well, I mean, it is. Everybody goes, oh, that's Peyton Wilson. No, it's not, right? It's the obvious thing is that he's the other white guy in the field.
No, you're just triggering. Like, my thing I hate the most is when NC State fans are like describing a recruit. And it's like, if it's a white linebacker, it's Peyton Wilson or Drake Thomas.
Oh, right. Well, right? That's what I'm saying. Like, everybody assumed it was him because obviously, right? They have the same similar build and they look the same out there. And one's 10, one's 11, right? There's a lot of parallels to it. They don't play the same.
Next Brandon Bishop.
Yeah, they don't play it. They don't play the same at all. But people are going to say, oh, he's Peyton Wilson. You know, that's Peyton Wilson out there, right? I expect you can't replace Peyton Wilson with, yeah, with one guy, right? I mean, everybody's going to have to contribute in order to pick that up.
Yeah.
What Fordham I was thinking is going to be his replacement next year. I don't know if they put that on him full time. I think what full time right now is what I mean. What I think they're doing is you're right. I think Sean Brown moves down because what they're going to have to do is spy Avery Johnson. Avery Johnson has been run first all year, and he's extremely fast. They say he's the fastest guy in Kansas State team. But they're also saying, well, he wants to prove himself that he can throw. He's not just a runner. So is he going to try and force some throws or being forced passes? And that's going to be the interesting part of that. I think they're going to spy him with somebody. Sean Brown would be the most logical spy, in my opinion, just in terms of speed-wise, because I don't think any of the linebackers are nearly as fast as Peyton Wilson was. So, and, you know, they also have DJ Giddens, who's a 1,000-yard back. So he's going to – they're going to run the ball, and offensive line's pretty good. Yeah, so you don't replace him, Peyton, with one guy. I think it's going to be a combination of things. But it's going to be interesting to see what they do offensively with the new the new coordinator there and, you know, just all the different factors. This is Avery Johnson's first start at quarterback. The Cocaine Willie guys told me that he started one game as wide receiver just because, you know, and I was like, oh, that's interesting.
I think it was the TCU game last year. Again, in the end, it's like, okay, Peyton Wilson was responsible for 69 solo tackles, 69 assisted tackles, 3 interceptions, 2 fumble recoveries, and a forced fumble. So, like, yeah, he was heavily factored in every freaking game. There's like not even a game he like no-showed in this year. So not having him is important. At the same time, right, like you're saying, right, if Kansas State is going to be really one-dimensional, then Tony Gibson's just going to do what he normally does. Like they've played great against the run for like the last 3 years. So if they're going to just become run heavy, right?
I think Avery Johnson to throw.
Well, yeah. And like thing is like all I've seen in his little highlights, right, is his throws are like basically 15 yards or less. So to me it's like, are they going to Henry Baleen us from Duke? Right? Like, is it going to be a game where he throws the ball 12 times? Is it going to be like, I'm trying to think of who to even comp him to. We didn't play him this year. He's like, he reminds me of Haynes King. Like, mobile, quick, can throw, but we don't really know how good the arm is. Anytime we played mobile quarterbacks in the last 3 years, like, we've actually done pretty well against those. Right? Like,
I'm trying to think, but you also have Peyton Wilson, right? That's the factor is, I mean, Peyton is a huge factor in being able to contain a mobile quarterback.
Yeah, huge but factor. You still have Aiden White, right? Like, you still got the DBs, which allow you to, I feel like, flow differently than most teams. It's going to be really interesting, right? Because there's a 3-3-5 at Kansas State, so he's probably going against that. He's not going to be confused in this game from that perspective. Like, it's not going to be the first time he's seen a 3-3-5. Right. I just think the thing is, like, can he play a full game and actually, like, everything I saw was him, like, in mop-up duties, aside from Texas Tech, which, I mean, you saw what we did against Texas Tech. So,
They were not as good this year as they were last
definitely
year.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Because they didn't have Malik Dunlap.
Dunlap played this year. They didn't have the big edge that went number three in the draft or whatever.
Dude, that dude was awesome. That guy was crazy.
Tyree? Something like that, maybe? He was awesome. He was really
good. Who knows? We noticed that. He made me worried.
Yeah, he was
good. Now, I will say, like, Avery Johnson, like, there's going to be a hole. You know how it's going to happen, right? There's probably going to be, like, two or three busts, and this dude's going to have, like, massive runs or touchdowns. Like, I'm just going to hope on the other flip side of it is NC State's offense is probably going to do pretty well, unless there's injuries that we don't know of.
Yeah. That's the part where I feel like this is different than bowls in the past. Right? I was on those other guys' pods and kept talking about, you know, our bowl record has not been the best under Dave. A lot, you know, and there's so many different circumstances, right? You're playing Bailey Hockman in one game, you're playing Ben Finley in another, you know, you're playing Mississippi State and Dak Prescott, their best quarterback of all time. Right? We've had a lot of weird matchups and weird things happen.
Yeah.
But this one, it feels like, you know, this is Brennan Armstrong's probably last organized football game, and he's going to want to go out and play well. And he's like, he wants to be there. I think there's going to be more want to be there than we've had in years past. And to me, watching these bowl games, that makes all the difference. I feel like there's going to be that's a big advantage for us. And I'm sure Avery Johnson's going to want to show out and show why he's the guy next year and blah, blah, blah. But I feel pretty good about the way the offense closed the year and then being able to maintain that momentum with Brennan Armstrong's, you know, desire and want to win and want to play. It will be interesting to me to see how they change the running back position. How are they going to, you know, was Jordan Poole getting running back reps during bowl practices? You know, is it going to use him more in that regard as opposed to just a blocker? It's going to be all Raphael and KC. You know, there's still some interesting questions on our side from the offensive standpoint.
I think, yeah, from my perspective, it's are guys going to press or because it's their last games, right? Because it's not just Brennan Armstrong, right? It's probably, if we're being realistic, right? It's the last game for a Trent Penix or a Keon Lassane. You know, like anyone else that walked on senior day, like, but I'm just thinking of offense right now, right? Are guys going to be pressing because they feel that this is their last chance? Hopefully not. I hope they're deluding themselves and they're going to play really nice and relaxed. But yeah, I mean, they've lost a lot, right? They've lost their starting wide receiver, their starting tight end. They may be losing their starting offensive guard. I'm not sure what the deal is with this guy. Starting defensive tackle, starting safety, backup running back, their starting quarterback, they're starting cornerback, they're starting edge. Like, there's a lot of guys that aren't playing in this game for Kansas State. Now, like, you counter that against our roster, and it's like MJ Morris, well, he doesn't matter. Michael Allen, Porter Rooks. Maybe CJ Clark. CJ Clark's probably the biggest one.
That's what I'm saying. Here's a question.
It's just so weird. Why are we not favored? That's what I don't understand.
I don't know. Here's a question that both K-State guys asked me. And, you know, outside of Concepcion, who else on offense should we be noticing? Or who else should we be watching? And I didn't have an answer for them.
Oh.
Which is crazy. I mean, obviously Brennan Armstrong and Kevin Concepcion, but, I mean, Keon Lassane, Bradley Rosner, the secret weapon.
Well, oh my gosh, yeah, it's Bradley Rosner's last game. What I would have probably said, I would have been like, Armstrong, 4 weeks healthy. If we're assuming he had bruised ribs and not broken rib, like, I think you're going to see physical Armstrong again.
Right.
Right? So that's a factor. That's a big factor. And we have, I'm trying to think here, the two games we saw of healthy, I don't give a fuck. Brennan Armstrong at the end of the season were awesome efficiency games.
Awesome.
So I'd be worried about that. And those were games. Trent Penix, I would say Trent Penix is probably going to show out. Like, to me, this is he's made it. I assume he's healthy. You're going to play Trent Penix every snap of the game until he breaks is what I would do. Yeah. Dakari Collins was really flashing in that UNC game, right? Like, I think Dakari things are Collins really... Is,
yeah, the one I said I really liked, and he started playing at the end of the year, so probably him.
Yeah, but I'd keep an eye out. Yeah, I mean, God, I fear that we're going to feature Keon Lassane.
That was my exact statement.
I fear it.
Like, as long as they don't feature Keon, we're okay.
But
there's
but
a direct
I guess
parallel
what I'd say
to
is like,
the first five games and Keon Lassane's being featured.
But if you get Keon,
don't
if you
try
get
to
Keon
justify
use
it.
Rate, it's
don't
fine.
Justify it.
It's fine. But I really think actually, you know, to your point, I kind of forgot about him. But I think actually this is probably going to be the big Rosner game. Like, no one's talking about him, which makes me think like this eighth year white dude is just going to roll out there and just be like, I'm just going to snag a bunch of curls and out routes, and I'm just going to move the chains. He's probably going to
really
be like Kansas State's worst nightmare.
If you really think about it, we've got a bunch of guys who are probably playing their last organized football.
Yeah.
Rosner, Penix, Keon, Armstrong. I'm sure there's some others that I'm forgetting, but like that's a group of guys that are probably going to want to really lay it out there or really do what they can. And that's typically a good sign in one of these bowl games, you know? Like, typically that, I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah. And then you factor in the want to from Dave trying to achieve the 10th win that got the opportunity that was going to taken away from him before. I don't know what Kansas State's really playing for. Like, the only thing I can think of is they're playing for Avery Johnson and wanting to ball out for him. But, like, here's my thing, right? If this dude's your future for the next 2+ years, are you really going to risk him in this game? Like, I wonder how much they're going to run him.
Well, so here's the kind of counter to that is that they apparently really want their offensive line coach to get the OC job. And like, apparently there's some motivation there from part of that because they didn't like how Klein left them for Texas A&M.
You really want your offensive line coach to be your offensive coordinator? I think we're going to destroy these guys if that's the case.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's their motivation. I agree with you. I don't know about what they're going to do with Avery Johnson. It's going to be interesting. I do think it's going to be a good game. I kept coming back to, and I hate doing score predictions, but I kept coming back to like 34-27, something like that, or 34-21 or something. Like, I feel pretty good about our chances because given how many guys, like, their secondary really took a beating in terms of guys who left or are sitting out. And I would think we're going to try to exploit that. But again, like we just said, I don't know who's going to exploit that.
That's the thing, right?
Concepcion. Like, who do you have?
The two deep threat guys that we had, Ant Smith and Terrell Simmons, are like not on the roster anymore, right?
Oh, yeah. Poor Ant Smith.
So,
ECU Pirate.
I mean, I'm going to follow that career till the end. I'm not giving up. But I can't wait for him to transfer back here after like a ball out season.
That would be amazing.
God, it would just
West Virginia scored on the first play.
My God. Is there, you've ruined it for me. I'm literally not watching. What was the one thing I said? I said, can we not record during the UNC game? I want to hate watch it. And now you just took that from me.
Oh, here's not spoiler alert. West Virginia will score again. I'm for sure.
Yeah, probably. I can't wait. I can't wait to turn this game on. Hold on. No, I was trying to think through it, right? Is if you got two running quarterbacks and they're going to run more, and you know, we like to hand the ball off to KC, this could be a low scoring game, right? Or it could be a one sided running game.
Yeah, it could be.
So
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it just wouldn't surprise me if it's like 28-17, 28-14, something low.
Yeah. It sounds about right. I don't even know what the over under is on this game, but.
God, I'll find it for us. This is
last question here. Countess of ECU, which is hilarious parody
what?
Name, by the way. The Countess of ECU.
Oh, okay.
It's definitely a parody name, but I had to put the name in there. What will State do when our school, UNC, goes to the SEC?
was one of my favorite questions of all time. One of my favorite questions of all time. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, a runner we'll 48.5 for our game. Yeah.
48.5?
48.5.
So you're right. 28-20.
2017. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Classic 25-24.
Right? Yeah.
Oh my God. What will I do? I will cheer when UNC goes to the SEC, because then that means we're going to the Big Ten. And I don't care at that point. Honestly, my quick riff on this whole thing is I hope FSU tries to leave. I hope they win, and that grant of rights are invalidated, not only in the ACC contract, but all sports TV media deals. And we have absolute chaos for about a year while that gets sorted out. And then once FSU leaves and they find out that they're only worth $40 million a year, I hope the ACC just punts out the bottom barrel schools and we condense back into the regional conference that we were. And we just see what happens for the next 5 or 6 years. That would be so nice.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to add about the Pop-Tarts Bowl? I want to go watch the Heels get boat raced by.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah. Hopefully the internet connection sounded good here, because this was fun.
Yeah, hopefully this works. Hopefully it's not bone, because, yeah, and it might be two podcasts. I don't know, but I'll put them all out whenever I can figure this out. But, yeah. Hopefully everybody traveling down there travels safe. Hopefully it doesn't take too long. I know I-95 is a fun adventure, especially in the holiday time. So, yeah, y'all safe travels. Have a good time in Orlando. Pull the pack to victory, and we will speak to y'all soon. Yep. Go pack.
Go pack.
Hey, it worked.
Yeah, I think it, no, it still says recording on my end. Oh, there it is.
The outro. I forgot to put it in live mode. I'm a little rusty here.